Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock, with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Keely Carney.
Back in December 2010, I was 22 years old, and I came out of an alcohol-induced blackout in a jail in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. At the time, I was a daily blackout drinker who was reaching her bottom with alcoholism. I was non-functional, I was not doing well, and I was in a bad place. I was already in the process of seeking help. I was working regularly with an addiction counselor, but when you come out of a blackout in jail, it's usually a good sign that the things that you are doing aren't working. I don't know that I can adequately convey the terror that comes with that moment, when you have no idea what you did or why you landed in there, because I naturally was afraid that I had driven while drinking and killed someone. And I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. I had become an alcoholic at an early age. I was already drinking alone at work in high school. And I was doing it. There's so much stigma around addiction. But really, I didn't drink as a problem. I drank as a solution. I drank to treat the chronic depression that had plagued me for as long as I could remember. And when I started drinking the way that I drank, the way that was a daily blackout drinking kind of drinking, it was because it made me feel really good. It made me feel like I was rejoining the land of the living, and I was doing all of these things, and I was alive, and I had feelings, and I wasn't bored all the time. And I knew that it was a problem, and I also felt like I was helpless to do anything about it. Until I came out of that blackout in jail, and I knew that something needed to change. So I was very fortunate to have a supportive family, and I was able to go to treatment. I was able to go to inpatient treatment in Connecticut, followed by a three-month intensive trauma program in Central Florida, followed by aftercare, which resulted in almost a year of my life spent trying to get well, trying to treat the alcoholism, trying to treat the depression that caused the alcoholism, and trying to treat all of the things that piled on top on top, because I was in a really bad place. And the problem that all of this led to is a problem that we don't talk about very often as a society, but we have people who struggle with addiction at insane rates right now because there's an opiate epidemic and there's just all of these things going on that are leading to more and more addiction. And what we don't talk about is that after people get well, they end up in a situation like I was in, where I had spent a year doing the hardest work of my entire life, and then all of a sudden I had to go back to the real world. And I was 23 years old, and I had to try to find a job, when for my entire history, my job had been about trying to find a place to work where I could drink the way I wanted to. So I had always served, and I had always bartended, and I'd always done these things to make it so that my life could be the 24/7 party that I wanted it to be, except now I couldn't do that anymore. So for a long time to find a job. I applied for housekeeping jobs, I applied for this job, I applied for that job. I was trying to do anything I could to not go back to the serving and the bartending because I knew that if I did that, I wouldn't stay sober. And eventually, I landed a job at a temp agency, and that led to a job, which is what I call my second chance job, at a hotel in Sarasota, Florida, where a woman named Leslie Power gave me the second chance I was looking for. And even though nothing about me made sense as a candidate, because on my application I had to check off the criminal background and I had these employment gaps and I had all of these different things, she gave me a chance. And what makes Leslie giving me a chance really powerful is that because the stigma that accompanies addiction is so great, I was coached day in and day out not to reveal anything about my addiction. So I was sitting in front of this woman who could tell that there was something that I wasn't telling her. And I was asking her to give me a chance anyway, and she did. I worked overnight at her hotel. I tend to be pretty ambitious, so I was able to ask to take over the social media and the TripAdvisor and the this and the that. And within 3 months, she had pulled me to daytimes, and I was covering for somebody on maternity leave. Within a year, I had moved on to be the internet marketing manager at a bigger hotel, and then I was the director of growth and marketing for a startup. And all of this came to be through that one launching pad opportunity. And what this has enabled is I ended up in Delray Beach, Florida, I don't know, 5 years ago now, when my fiancé took a job at the Office Depot headquarters in Boca Raton, And I was really pulled to giving back to the recovery community that had given so much to me. So I started working in treatment centers, and I was doing recovery coaching, and I was doing this, and I was doing that, and I was trying to figure out if I wanted to go back to school to become a therapist. And along the way, I started a small company called Mental Health Mugs, and I just put empowering mental health sayings on ceramic coffee mugs, and I sold them through Instagram and a Shopify site, and I was just, it was able to help me keep the marketing side of things that I really enjoyed while I was doing more of the recovery community. And when it started to take off, Sam, my fiancé, looked at me and he said, you know, for years and years you've talked about this problem. You've said that nobody's talking about the problem of how to create safe jobs for people in early recovery. And he said, and if this business grows, you could start doing that. You could start creating opportunities for these people who need a chance the way that you needed a chance. And as it tends to do, as soon as those magic words were said, the universe started to conspire. I love The Alchemist, and that's a line from that. And I ended up at the Social Impact Lab at Lynn University getting lunch with Jerry Hildebrand, the director of the Social Impact Lab, and just telling him that I had this idea. I had this baby social enterprise that put empowering sayings on coffee mugs, and I really wanted to get it to the place where I could create jobs for people in early recovery. And he connected me with the people that I needed to connect it to. And one day when I was in his office, he called in a professor at Lynn named Chris Napolitano, and we shared the idea with him. And Chris loved the idea, and the very next day we got coffee. And at that moment, the idea and the process for an organization that we ended up starting called the Second Chance Initiative was born. And what the Second Chance Initiative is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that exists to create those safe jobs for people in early recovery. So we still make and sell coffee mugs, but the whole point of it now is to create a transitional employment opportunity where people can come into our program, they can work for us for up to a year while they're getting back on their feet, and they earn a paycheck from day one. They earn a resume builder, and they earn references, and they earn all of these things. And really, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is redefine what a job in recovery looks like. So almost 9 years ago, I woke up the worst morning of my life, terrified by all of these things. And today I feel really grateful to get to wake up hopeful. I get to wake up and have a purpose, and I get to wake up and have opportunities that I never imagined happening. And I could not be more thrilled by what has come from it.
Keely Carney with a story about turning her life around.
Talk about transformation.
What a way to start a story. I don't think I ever woke up
Blackout drinking.
That's never happened to me. So immediately, it's a drastic story.
It brings us immediately to a very dark place, yes. And I would like to say we can only go up from there, but I suppose some people don't. And the fact that Keely went up from there in such a dramatic way, not only did she start off dramatically, but she turned her life around dramatically, makes it such an inspirational story.
Yeah, she's quite lucky that she had that opportunity to work in Sarasota.
Yes, so often our lives turn on a dime like that, and such a small detail, like walking into the right person on the right day. If that woman at that hotel had a bad morning, hadn't shown up that day, who knows what would have been different for Keely. And it makes me think of the butterfly effect, you know? One little thing. It might be somebody smiling at you. It might be somebody doing something as momentous as recognizing that you have potential. But the little thing is her happening to have met that person at that day.
Not only that, I mean, it takes incredible internal strength to spend a year recovering.
Yes, and her business is not only giving a good product to the public, of course, these coffee mugs, but it's also giving work to people like her. There are times that we hear the expression, never look back. I'm only looking to the future. Well, never looking back is antithetical to what storytelling is about. Storytelling is remembering the story, growing from that story, and also helping other people grow from your experience. So I have talked in the past about the hero's journey, how this is an archetype of how we start off in some terrible struggle and we either overcome the demon, the opponent, or we don't. And we either learn from our experience and share our knowledge or we don't. And in this case, Keely is a hero, and what she has done is paved the way for other people to be heroes of their own lives.
Most people wouldn't admit to being blackout drunk, but to be able to recover from that and help other people, she is a hero.
It is really difficult to share a story that isn't all hearts and flowers and isn't all positive. And one of the issues we see about Facebook that I have read again and again, therapists tell people, when you look on Facebook, you see people's happy stories. I mean, sometimes they'll say, pray for my dying relative or something. But so often they're giving happy, happy examples from their lives, happy pictures, happy successes, et cetera. And we are used to hearing that. We are not used to hearing as many of the sad stories in our culture today. I'm not saying that we don't have a confessional culture. I mean, all the memoirs that are out there are talking about people's difficult lives. But I agree with you. It is still taboo, particularly to a larger audience, to really share the tough times you've had. And yet, if we don't share them, then people won't learn from our experience. And so, yeah, that's a really good point. Keely is a hero in that way, too, not only because of the work that she's given to other people in rehab, not only because she's recovered, but also because she is willing to share her story.
Keely, when she was in jail, when she woke up in jail, she was only 22 years old.
Right. This was 2010. So the trajectory of this story took less than 9 years. We're hearing about it in 2019, but she's been in recovery a while now, and she had this business for a while. I always remember something that my mother told me years ago. She said she started college at age 35. When she was thinking about it, she said to my uncle, but I'm going to be 40 when I graduate. And her uncle said, yeah, but you're going to be 40 regardless. And in the same way, she would have been 31 regardless. And look what she's got. Look what Keely's got.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. Are there any storytelling events coming up?
Yes, The Moth at the Olympia Theater, Tuesday, September 10th, the second Tuesday of every month.
If anybody would like to submit a story to the Public Storyteller, Karen, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneile, C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.